AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Eric on your Thursday afternoon. Eric, how you doing in there?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm doing well as well here. Well as well, I guess. There you go. Anyways, been a very busy day for me. One of those types of days where, not enough time in the day to get done what you need to get done. So that's why we have open phone lines this entire hour at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. No, I will not go silent if no one calls. It won't be one of those types of shows. But, if you want to chime in on any of the topics we're going to be talking about today, would love to give your thoughts, because the plan for today is to, we're not going to make it a sports show because that would drive me nuts, and it would probably drive you out there listening nuts as well, since we have about 38 different sports talk stations here in town. But there are a couple of sports-related topics that I would like to bring up on the show today because they do relate to politics. The first one is, of course, what's with happening with the Washington Redskins heading to town tonight to play the Minnesota Vikings. There, of course, is a protest going on as we speak. In fact, we're hoping to have Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio call in at some point during the hour to tell us how the protest is going. So we're going to talk more about why the Redskins name is problematic. And I have kind of a unique view on this in terms of mascot names, because I used to be very much in the camp of saying, why do we need to change these names? But I've really changed my views on this over the past few years. So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. Also ahead on the program today, I want to talk about this idea of states passing these laws that allow NCAA athletes to get paid, because this idea has actually made its way to Minnesota, and it's actually a bill that's going to be sponsored by a Republican that is likely to be introduced during the next legislative session. So I'm going to talk about, the bill itself and then also the politics behind it, because I think we're running into a situation right now where a lot of Republicans that serve in the state legislature are seeing some poll numbers showing that things might not go so well for them in 2020. So this could be kind of a push to get a bill through that it could at least show the constituents, hey, we're at least doing something that's trying to help you. So give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Before we get into those topics, I do want to pass along my best thoughts to Hunter Hawes today, as he actually had his mother's memorial service today, as well as the visitation. I had a chance to go out there to the church in Chaska, and definitely want to send my best thoughts to Hunter. Also, on Saturday, they are going to have a second service. This one will be a little bit more non-traditional, where it's going to be basically an art gallery of all of Hunter's mom's work. Because if you're not familiar with Hunter's mother, is that she used to be a photographer, and actually a very talented photographer at that. She worked at the state capitol for a number of years, and just a really talented artist. When I was talking to Hunter, he has a whole bunch of her works that are going to be on display at the Veterans Hall in Chaska coming up on Saturday from 3 until 8 o'clock. They will be for sale because, as Hunter says, he wants these to go to a good home. He doesn't just want to keep these all himself. So make sure you go out there to the Veterans Hall in Chaska this Saturday from 3 until 8 o'clock and, purchase some of those artworks, because they are really incredible stuff. She was a really good artist. So have you seen some of her works as well, Eric?
I have. And at the funeral today, one piece of her work was featured pretty prominently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cool. And just knowing some of the thought process that went behind one picture kind of gives you an understanding of the weight of it. Oh, this is not just a picture of something.
Right.
She had something very clear in mind when she took a photo of it.
Yeah, she seemed to me, I unfortunately didn't get the chance to know her very well, but she kind of strikes me as having one of those very special minds that kind of artists can only have, where they kind of see the world in a different way that you might not be able to. And I think that's kind of what you're describing. She just has that natural talent.
Yeah. I mean, to say anything about Shelley, you'd have to say that she's a character.
Yeah, exactly. I only had a few opportunities to meet her at the Blue State Ball, and it was fun with my interactions when I was able to talk with her. So, best thoughts going out to Hunter today. I know it's certainly not the best of days for him, but I do want to encourage you to head out to the Chaska Veterans Hall coming up on Saturday from 3 until 8 o'clock and see some of his mom's awesome works and your chance to purchase those as well. You definitely will not regret it. In fact, I'm definitely going to be heading out there myself and getting some of those artworks as well coming up on Saturday. Speaking of Hunter, hopefully you're going to be hearing him on the airwaves in the coming weeks or so in the future. In fact, he actually recorded, along with you, Eric, a new Mission Accomplishers this past weekend on Saturday, and you guys just about killed me when I heard the beginning of the show when just kept playing those clips. Where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? That would be Donald Trump saying that. Yeah, did you guys put those all together and search out those clips?
Yeah, well, all the Hunter ones were from his most recent appearance in Minneapolis.
He said all of those in Minneapolis?
Yeah. What? He said I'm just constantly referring to Hunter.
Yeah.
And then I think I got mine during some compilation someone made of Trump talking about how much he loves really large men. So he's one of the biggest men I've ever seen.
He cannot be any more creepy when he's talking about his kids, whether it's his son, that would be Eric or Don Jr., as he said. Yeah, go back and listen to Mission Accomplishers. You'll hear this clip because it's just odd where he's saying, oh, look at Eric. He's such a tall guy, a great man. It's just odd. And then, of course, he's had his very awkward statements about his daughter as well, talking about how if she wasn't his daughter, he would like to date her. So it's just he has a very kind of creepy vibe with his kids. I don't know how you would necessarily put up with him being your father, although I guess if he's your father, you probably share some of the same genes as him, so maybe not an issue. All right, so let's dive into some of the news for today. Of course, the Washington Redskins are heading to town tonight. Well, in fact, they're probably here already, set to take on the Minnesota Vikings. And, of course, there is a rally that is taking place outside U.S. Bank Stadium. In fact, they're marching there as we speak over to U.S. Bank Stadium. It's called the Not Your Mascot Rally. Robert Pilot is a part of that, and he hopefully will be calling in. So I want to talk for a few minutes about this idea of the Redskins being the mascot name of the Washington football team. Because, as I said at the top of the show, I come from this with kind of a different sort of background where I've really changed my views over the past few years. The example I'm thinking of is that, well, I've been a Gopher hockey fan for a number of years, not so much since they moved to the Big Ten, but I was really a big fan of the Gopher hockey team when they were playing in the WCHA. And, of course, their big rival in college hockey is not Wisconsin. It's actually North Dakota. And prior to, I think it was 2015, the North Dakota University athletic teams used to be known as the Fighting Sioux. Right now, they are called the Fighting Hawks. So originally, when they were going through that name change, I was sitting there kind of thinking, well, why do they need to change the name of the North Dakota Fighting Sioux? Because this is me thinking a number of years ago, thinking, well, the name isn't that disrespectful. The logo they use isn't a cartoonish type logo that they use for like the Cleveland Indians or even the Atlanta Braves. Of course, the Indians had that Chief Wahoo logo for years. And it's certainly not as offensive as the Washington Redskins, because even at that point, when I had some different thoughts on this topic, I even was thinking back then that we probably need to change the name of the Washington Redskins. But at that point, I was thinking, why do we need to change the name of the Fighting Sioux? It didn't really strike me as being a very big issue, but what kind of changed my thought process on this, and Eric, you and Matt were kind of alluding to this back in the 3 o'clock hour, this has to do with kind of that white savior complex, and it comes from two sides for me. The first side is that what right do I have as sitting here as a white guy to say what is or is not offensive to a minority group of people? And that goes both ways. I shouldn't tell anyone that you shouldn't think something is offensive. But on the other hand, I also shouldn't have the right to say you should think this is offensive, because that kind of goes back to that white savior complex. So to me, that was one of the big reasons I changed my mind, is that I'm a white guy. The issue doesn't impact me at all. If there's a lot of people who do think the Fighting Sioux name is problematic, then yeah, go ahead and change the name. But overall, for me, sitting here as a white man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I don't really think I should be weighing in on this in one way or another.
Yeah, that's kind of the take I have. I just defer to the group being referred to. Mm-hmm. Kind of like apparently the Florida Seminoles, the tribe endorses that name.
Yeah, the Florida State Seminoles.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's cool. I don't know. It's not my fight to really take.
Yeah.
If you I mean, it depends on how you feel about your representation.
Mm-hmm. And it does get problematic. That's a good example you bring up with the Florida State Seminoles. I was just going to get to that in a moment because it does get to a little bit of a gray area where you're talking about, well, this group does actually endorse the mascot names, because I know there was a little bit of a controversy with – it was just like a very small group, I think, of people who were part of the Seminoles who actually said, yeah, the name was okay. Sure. So – and I think
it's kind of like Chicago Blackhawks. I know like the family of Chief Blackhawk is okay with it, and then I mm-hmm. think members of his tribe are maybe right. not so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that ultimately does come down to money, because obviously the Chicago Blackhawks are a multi-million-dollar NHL hockey team out of Chicago, and Florida State, if you're not familiar with college athletics, they're one of the more marketable and famous college teams, where areas North Dakota, while they're well-known for hockey, they're not really known for any other sport. So I think that's also partially why they were forced to change their name. It's kind of a problem I have with this, is that if you're going to make one team change its name, you probably should do the others, unless, yeah, you actually do have a large group of people from the – so from whatever impact and minority group. If they say it's okay, I guess stick with it. But, yeah, there definitely is kind of some funny business going on there, where North Dakota had to change their name, but all of a sudden Florida State does not. The University of Illinois does not. They're currently known as the Fighting Illini. So, yeah, that's an entirely different issue. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. But let's take this back to the Washington Redskins name, though. Because this is something I often hear people cite when they talk about the Redskins name, especially those who like the name and don't want to see it changed. Because I've heard this a number of times during the debate. They bring up this poll that's back to 2004 where they say 81% of Native Americans say they support the Redskins name and they're okay with it. Well, if you do a little research into this poll, which was done back in 2004, and the name of the pollster was, if I can find it here in my notes that I was pulling up, it was conducted in 2004, well, I'll find it here in just a second. In fact, I'll have it for you during the break. But the crux of the problem was is that, well, they were getting a very misleading sample size where they turns out they were actually polling people who were from the University of Illinois, basically thinking that because they go to a school with the nickname Illini, they should somehow actually be included in this poll. It was actually that blatant in terms of how misleading it was. So that's how they got to that 81%. Isn't that unreal?
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah, because this is often cited as being, well, the one national poll that's been done on the Washington Redskins name, yeah. Because there's been other polls among smaller groups, but this was supposed to be the big one. But yeah, if you do a little more digging into this, it's yeah, they
it's like, oh, I'm going to do a study on Lions, so why don't yeah. I poll all of Detroit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's essentially what happened. And there was also some issues with the way they were weighting the poll as well. Like, for instance, if they did run into someone who was a Native American that said yes, well, they were giving them extra weight in terms of how it was done. So, yeah, I'll get you the name of that poll in just a second. But it was conducted back in 2004, and it's one that you often hear cited by supporters of the Washington football name in terms of why they think it's not problematic. But, yeah, my thinking on this whole issue has definitely changed over the years. As I was bringing up going back to the North Dakota name change, again, my idea was that, well, first up, again, as a white guy, I shouldn't really have a say in terms of whether they changed their name or not. And then there was also this. If you remember back to a late-night talk show from a number of years ago, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, where they brought on a bunch of Washington football fans talking about how they loved the name. And then all of a sudden, when they brought out some Native Americans actually on stage, well, they were a little more questionable in terms of their support of the team. It's a little bit tougher to say that you're a supporter of the Washington football team name in front of people who are actually from Native American descent. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take your thoughts on this topic. But coming up, unless we get some phone calls, we're going to switch gears and talk about this bill that could be in the state legislature next year that has to do with paying NCAA athletes and the politics behind that. It's all on the way here on the Repartee. It's Brett Johnson on your Thursday afternoon.
Finding a lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know where to start. So start with the Hennepin County Bar Association. They can connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Not sure if you need an attorney or what type of attorney to request? The referral counselors at Hennepin County Bar Association can help. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Replace your tired appliances with beautiful new energy efficient ones from Warner Stellion, and we'll buy your trades for $50 each. That's right. Choose from our huge selection of qualifying top-rated appliances. Buy at our guaranteed lowest price, and we'll buy your trades for $50 each. Plus, we'll still include our trusted fast-free delivery and 18 months interest-free financing. This is an exclusive, very limited-time offer from Minnesota's own appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Welcome back to the program. Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson with you on your Thursday afternoon. By the way, the poll that I was referring to from 2004 showing that supposedly 90% of Native Americans were okay with the Redskins name, that was from Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, conducted back in 2004. And I'll just Wikipedia the study, because you'll find the numerous problems that they had in terms of how they were conducting that sample size. So if you hear that poll cited, don't give that any credence, because it was a very, very illegitimate poll. And also want to bring up another couple final thoughts here with the Redskins name. Of course, you can go back in history and find a number of articles where they were basically referring to Redskin as being the scalp hunting that was done back in the 19th century, including actually a Winona, Minnesota newspaper that was published back in 1863, which had this quote as saying, "The state reward for dead Indians has been increased to $200 for every Redskin sent to purgatory. This sum is more than the dead bodies of all the Indians east of the Red River." So that was back in 1863, actually in our own state of Winona. Yeah, not a proud history here in Minnesota. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Doug in Minnetonka. Hi there, Doug. What do you think?
Yeah, hi, guys. I have a quick comment. There is no way to justify keeping the Redskins as the name for the football team. There's just nothing that you can say to make it a legitimate nickname. But I want to bring up something as an aside to that. In D.C., which at one time was the murder capital of the United States 1 or 2 years They even forced the Washington Bullets basketball team to change the name to the Wizards.
That's right. I forgot about that. That was about like in 1997 or 1998. You're right, when they did end up changing their name to the Wizards. Yeah, thanks so much.
Right. And,
Go ahead.
They thought their rationale was that, you know, because it was so violent in the city that, you know, even just saying the name Washington Bullets, you know, would encourage more violence, which I find laughable, honestly. But the Redskins, there is no way in hell that you can justify keeping that name. I'm okay with the Fighting Illini and the Fighting Sioux. I think that's more of an honor than anything else. I think if they initially named those teams to honor the tribes, then I have no issue with it. But the Redskins, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of get what you're coming from, Doug, because, again, I'll preface this by saying ultimately the decision shouldn't come down to someone like myself or Eric or Doug, who was just on the phone lines. But I can maybe see an argument, as Doug was saying, why you could keep the North Dakota or Illinois names. But
yeah. And if you want to use the tribe name, are those tribes getting any money?
Oh, no, that's
no,
a great
point. No, they're profiting
point.
Off the name.
Yeah, yeah, if you're actually having – tribes profiting off those names. Yeah, that's an entirely different discussion. But yeah, again, as I was saying, I can maybe see an argument for North Dakota or Illinois or even Florida State. But yeah, there's no argument to be made for Redskins or even the Cleveland Indians at that. At least to Cleveland's benefit, they've finally gotten rid of the Chief Wahoo logo on their hat. And now if you watch baseball now, they just have basically kind of morphed into just having a C as their logo. And even if you do change your name, let's even look at that example of North Dakota changing their name from the Fighting Sioux to the Fighting Hawks. Have the sports teams been performing any worse? No. In fact, I think North Dakota has actually won a couple of national championships in hockey since then. And I don't think they've really had any problems with their merchandise sales or their attendance. They pretty much sell out Ralph Engelstad Arena every weekend, so that really hasn't impacted them at all. So, yeah, there's really been no negative connotations at North Dakota from changing their name. They still had just as much on the field and on the ice success, and they haven't really seemed to lose any merchandise money or attendance at that. Hey, let's speak to Robert Pilot, who is actually at the Not Your Mascot rally right now in Minneapolis on the way to U.S. Bank State Stadium. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, Brad. How's it going?
All right.
We're here. I have some dignitary I'd love to have you talk to. Here's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Oh, hi, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
Hi there.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that you're out at the rally and the march today. Describe kind of what the atmosphere is out there right now.
It is powerful. We have drums. We have women who are leading the march. We have allies and community members, and we're all coming together to just say that there is no honor in this name, and it is time for the Washington football team to get with it and to change this racist name.
And, of course, you're impacted by this as well from your background, and I imagine you found this name very problematic as well, correct?
Absolutely. I'm the mom of an Ojibwe girl who saw the imagery of the Washington football team on TV the other day when we were getting ready for school. And she's like, Mommy, what's that? And said, we're not animals. We're not mascots. We're people. And my six-year-old daughter shouldn't have to see that garbage. And frankly, no one should anyone else. So I'm out here as Lieutenant Governor, but more than anything, I'm out here as a mom.
Yeah, and that's important to bring up. Yeah, you're out there in kind of both respects and showing that, yeah, here in the state of Minnesota and in the Twin Cities, yeah, we're not friendly to this name at all. And hopefully, yeah, this spreads to other towns where the Washington football team is visiting.
Right.
All right, Lieutenant.
It's, again, just really powerful event. We're, you know, I'm honored and humbled to be here, and I think we're sending a powerful message today.
Excellent. Do we have any other politicians that are out there as well or elected office holders?
We've got Representative Jamie Becker Finn, who is walking with us right now. I know that Representative Mary Kunesh Podine, so our two Native women in the legislature, will be part of the 550 today. Mayor Jacob Fry will be here, Congressman McCollum. There's going to be a lot of folks who are here. So, You know, this is not just a Native issue. This is about our entire state and our entire country, and just ensuring that we are honoring Native people and not just degrading them with this racist mascot.
Absolutely. Hey, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, thanks so much for taking some time to join us on the program in the middle of the march. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right.
Go Vikings.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Go Vikings tonight, certainly as well. All right. Thanks again, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan. Yeah, great to get her on the program. Let's see if... Hey, we got Robert Pilot back. Hey there, Robert.
Yeah, hey, it's mayhem right now, but I'm going to sign off. But I just thought you'd get a good little talk there with Peggy, and we'll see you all at the stadium right now in about a half hour.
All right, sounds good, Robert. Right, thanks so much for joining us. You too. Yep, thanks. And again, Robert will likely have much more on this on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake coming up on Saturday from 1 until 3 o'clock. Make sure you tune in to the program coming up this Saturday, as I'm sure they'll have lots more. And also, listen to the podcast of yesterday's 4 o'clock repartee. Robert was guest hosting and had a number of special guests with him, including Henry Boucher and some of the other organizers of the Not Your Mascot Rally. So I encourage you to go back into the podcasts and check that out from yesterday's show, and then tune in to Native Roots Radio I'm Awake coming up this Saturday from 1 until 3. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll continue our discussion on the Washington football team name, and then in a few minutes here we'll pivot to talking about this bill that could be at the state legislature that would allow NCAA athletes to be paid, as well as some other news in Minnesota, including Amy Klobuchar qualifying for the November debate. That's all on the way, but before we get to all of that, let's listen to the news from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 24th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday asked a top congressional law enforcement official to take action. The Hill reports that's in response to GOP lawmakers bringing electronic devices to a secure facility while disrupting the deposition of a witness in the impeachment inquiry. The Hill adds that a letter to the Sergeant-at-Arms quotes House Homeland Security Chairman Benny Thompson as saying Republicans' decision to bring cell phones into the SCIF violated security protocols. Companies doing business in Pennsylvania are warning investors that climate change is a threat to productivity as well as profits.
President Donald Trump attended an event sponsored by the natural gas industry in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, where he celebrated beginning the process of withdrawing the country from the Paris Climate Agreement. But methane, the main component of natural gas, is responsible for one quarter of the greenhouse gas pollution that leads to climate change. And a new report from the group Business Forward says that is having a major impact on the Keystone State's economy. According to Sherston Klein, owner of Willie's Ski and Board Shops, it's already affecting her business.
Over the 50 years that we have been in business, there is a distinct trend of winters starting later and ending earlier.
The report, featuring 19 of the state's 20 Fortune 500 companies, outlines the effects of climate change on businesses from agriculture to transportation, as well as on infrastructure. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
That report says Pennsylvania has had $18 billion of weather and climate-related disasters just since the year 2014. This is PNS.
According to an AARP survey this year, one in three older adults say they lack regular companionship, and one in four describe themselves as feeling isolated from other people at least some of the time. Will Phillips, state director of AARP Minnesota, says the results are startling, especially when factoring in gender.
It does note that caregivers are 8% more likely to be lonely than those who are not caregivers. And we know that traditionally and still today, you know, the majority of caregivers are women.
Phillips says Minnesota's challenges are unique with its geography, long winters, and lack of public transportation, all making it harder for some older people to travel to connect with friends and family. AARP is working with local governments to build more livable communities that make it easier for seniors to get around. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 29. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 52 and a low around 36. Saturday, sunny with a high of 55 and a low around 37. Sunday, with a high of 44 and a low of 27.
Your Eat Local Minnesota's restaurant of the week is the Downtowner Wood Fire Grill. The Downtowner is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Experience their cozy fireside dining alongside their delicious food and extensive wine list. Check out the full menu at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, Brett and Eric, on your Thursday afternoon. By the way, with that Vikings versus Washington football team tonight, I believe it's actually historically one of the biggest lines they've had on a game in terms of betting, because the Vikings are heavily favored to win this game. I think they're the line's like 18.5 points, so maybe there's a chance they could even bring up the team name on the broadcast, because it might be such a lousy game the announcers are going to struggle with anything else to talk about. Because if you don't follow football, the Vikings are having a decent year. The Washington football team are one of the worst teams in the league this year. So, yeah, I wonder if that might be part of the broadcast at some point, with the announcers running out of things to talk about. Well, it's Joe Buck calling the game. I've never been that big of a fan of him anyway. So we shall see if you watch the game tonight over on Channel 9, as I believe is where they're broadcasting it. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk to Mike in, Boston, Massachusetts, getting our first Boston caller. Hey there, Mike. Thanks for listening on the TuneIn app.
Oh, hey. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I'm on the T. Just want to say I'm from Boston, but I've been listening for years. I'm actually from Minnesota. I was born and raised there. Yeah, and I lived with my Aunt Shirley ever since I was a little boy. Moved out here a little while ago, but I just want to say R.I.P. to my aunt. She was a big listener of you, but tragically she was killed by the Winchester commuter train. But I just want to get to the Republican Congress people going down to the to the bunker thing with their phones. I mean, I just want to say I'm a little bit more of a classical Democrat, more of a Steve Robinson guy instead of, you know, a Kirk Menahan, you know, crazy type. But I just want to say I think it's bad. I think it's hypocritical. And I don't know. I really think they need Danielle to keep in line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Mike. And thanks so much for listening to us from Boston, Massachusetts. Didn't quite get the names he was referring to. Thanks. Thanks again for the call, Mike.
No, I did not recognize any of those names. I'm not sure if this is like an inside joke prank phone call.
Yeah, neither am I. That's
but
why I'm props thinking
to
well,
you if he pulled it off.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking we'll end the phone call there. If he did, I guess props to you. Didn't have one of my Jolly Roger telephone robots answer the call, though. That would have been a little more entertaining. But Mike, listening in Boston, I guess, if you're still on the app, thanks for listening. Not sure those names you're referring to. I got a buddy of mine who kind of works in the comedy industry that
listeners
listens.
Listeners are listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Listeners are listeners. We do not discriminate. Yes.
Please Baba Booey, though, next time.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, just a quick comment about these Republican storming the basement yesterday. I was kind of talking to you and Matt about this between shows. I don't get why, if you're a Republican, how that would be advantageous to you to actually have these hearings take place in public, because at least in the way that we've had these scandals make their way through congressional investigations, they usually turn out worse the more they're actually in public, in the sense that the more they become a spectacle, the more they're actually covered in the news and the more that they're talked about. Because if you have something behind closed doors and we're just getting like a report from the New York Times, for instance, or the Washington Post saying so-and-so person who served in the Trump administration said this about Donald Trump and his conduct, if you're just getting a quote from like the newspaper, I don't think that's quite as powerful as actually seeing someone testify on TV. So we saw this during the Supreme Court hearings where Brett Kavanaugh almost got derailed, where we had these hearings that everyone was listening to, kind of the same with Robert Mueller, where I feel like it becomes much more of a spectacle when you actually have these types of hearings and investigations take place in the public light. It just sheds more light on what's actually happening, which to me would not be very advantageous here if you're a Republican. But ultimately, as I think Eric and Matt were talking about during the break between shows, between when Matt was on and when I was on, of course, they're obviously doing this just to shut down the investigation and the hearings, not to actually get it in public. But be careful what you wish for, because if you do get these hearings in public, very good chance those could actually end up kind of backfiring against you, because I think the more you make a public spectacle of these hearings and investigations, the worse it could actually be for Republicans. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Julie in Minneapolis. Hi there, Julie.
Hi, I just want to make a couple of quick comments. You know, I was listening to the neighbor, 830, down that dial. I was pretty shocked to hear that they consider this name change. It's just a matter of being politically correct. Two of the hosts, one I know is a Republican, one is a liberal. You know, the Republican guy said, this isn't really my fight, this isn't really my issue. And the liberal woman, which really shocked me, thought she made a joke about Redskins, foreskins, you know, what's the difference?
Ew.
So anyway, I
want
that
a team
pretty
named
shocking.
The Foreskins.
However, I guess the new owner, according to City Pages, is a Republican of WCCO, and he is a sports guy. My attitude is, why would you deliberately say something that's hurtful to a large group of people? Mm-hmm. To me, that makes you an abusive personality.
Mm-hmm. And Julie, I hate it when people say, oh, you're just being PC. They've made those initials into such a toxic term where it kind of loses its entire meaning, because being PC is really just not being a jerk. That's essentially what PC means.
Now, basically, yeah. I mean, there's other ways. When I always hear PC, I think of things like referring to innocent civilians dying as like collateral damage, mm-hmm. things like that, that kind of hide the actual vulgarity of it. Where when you're using PC to just be like, oh, you were upset that I'm acting like a jerk.
Yeah.
I don't really see the point.
Yeah, exactly. That term has just lost its meaning when so often we hear people say, oh, you're just being PC. Well, yeah, I'm okay with being PC, because PC means you're not being a jerk. It's essentially what the term actually means. 952-946-6205. So briefly want to touch on one other sports topic. I know we're not a sports talk station, but this is something that could impact us here at Minnesota at the legislature. And that is a bill that Senator Roger Chamberlain, by the way, a Republican, would like to see passed in the legislature. And that would allow NCAA athletes to get paid for times where their likeness is used to make money. The best examples would be like if you have a jersey of a player, they should be able to make money off that. That's essentially what Chamberlain is arguing. Same with their image, name, likeness, anything like that. This bill, of course, already was passed in California. Now it's made its way to Minnesota, where, again, it's being introduced by a Republican of all people. So while I certainly agree with Roger Chamberlain, college athletes should certainly be paid. I kind of question the motivations, whether it's necessarily a noble motivation for this, being that I just kind of see the Republicans kind of reading the tea leaves and figuring that 2020 might not go so well for them, at least in Minnesota, at least nationally. That could be an entirely different conversation, where I kind of view this kind of like how they view, or they try to pass Sunday liquor sales, as saying, well, hey, we at least did something here in Minnesota, where I don't feel like Sunday liquor sales was passed because
– And they even screwed that up.
Yeah.
Because liquor stores close at like 6 now.
Yeah, isn't it like 10 to 6 or some
– Yeah, it's
really
a weird hour, so it's no one's happy. Perfect.
Yeah, but they can at least go back to their constituents and say, hey, we did this thing that you kind of like – Sunday liquor sales, even though it's not really that substantive an issue. And I feel like it's going to be kind of the same thing with this idea of NCAA athletes getting paid where, yeah, I agree, we certainly should have that type of bill, but it's probably not the most important issue we should be dealing with at the next legislative session.
And I'm on your boat. I mean, it's an important thing that I think that it should be passed, but at the same time, it affects such a small number of people, and it's just a big distraction. So they go, oh, I can't talk about that. Let's talk about this.
It's not our solution show, but I think I've come up with a solution to get college athletics out of politics altogether so we no longer have to talk about this. And I love this idea. I read about this a few years ago, did a little more reading up on it, and I like this because this still will allow college athletics to exist the way they do, still be the moneymaker, still allow you to go out and cheer for your team, whether you're an alum or you just live in the state or you live in the area where that team plays. But you wouldn't have to worry about college athletes getting paid. You wouldn't have to worry about whether they're academically staying eligible. And I kind of like this. This was from Sports Illustrated for a number of years ago, and I love this idea. Let's just have private companies, sponsors, like a Coca-Cola or a 3M or a Microsoft, actually have their own teams where they would hire their own coaching staff. They would bring on their own players. And what they would do is that they would contract out with different universities around the country and sign like a 4-year or a 5-year or a 10-year contract where the players who are, let's say, on Coca-Cola or 3M or the Walmart team, they would contract with like the University of Minnesota where they would get to use the likeness of being the Minnesota Golden Gophers or the Wisconsin Badgers, because if you're a sponsor, that of course gives you more prominence being affiliated with a university. I kind of like that idea where we would get this idea out of having student athletes, because they're certainly not students, but you would still have colleges involved in athletics because a lot of people still do like the fact that they can cheer for Wisconsin or Minnesota or Ohio State or Michigan or name your favorite school. So I like the idea of just turning over these teams to private companies, and then the private companies can contract out to different colleges and sign on for 5 years or 10 years. So let's say in Minnesota, we could have the 3M team contracted out to us for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, if 3M decides they don't want to go with us, well, then 3M can go and have their team be represented by Oklahoma or Texas or Auburn or Alabama, and the Golden Gophers or the University of Minnesota would have to go find another company team. I kind of like just eliminating that idea of having student athletes, because it's a big reason why I've been turned off by college sports over the years, is that it's essentially just a competition when you're talking about football and basketball to see who can bend the rules and not get caught, because everyone cheats. I mean, everyone's trying to skirt the rules. It's just a matter of who's dumb enough to actually get caught. And I feel like if you go with this idea of actually just having private companies start up the teams and contract out with universities, just eliminate all of those issues. And who knows, maybe we could actually get those private companies to pay for stadiums so we no longer have to continue building college stadiums anymore, too. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, I have a few more miscellaneous stories to get to you before the end of the show, including Amy Klobuchar qualifying for the November presidential debate. She and 8 other candidates have qualified for that. And then also a story about striking with unions going way up over the years. And briefly, we'll touch on what's been happening with this company on the Iron Range, which has lost a whole lot of money in the steel industry, all on the way here on the Repartee.
Litton's Party Value is your Halloween headquarters. All Halloween-specific items will be an extra 20% off our low warehouse prices. Litton's Party Value has its best costumes for toddlers, kids' favorite licensed costumes, and adult costumes. Litton's Party Value has a great selection of tableware, decorations, and props to put the haunt into your Halloween horror show. Shop Litton's Party Value's new location at 913 Plymouth Avenue North, Minneapolis. Free parking or shop Litton's online at partyvalue.com.
So the mouse and the cat cooperated. Assistant, what does cooperate mean?
Cooperate, to team up.
Okay, merge.
What does merch mean?
Merch, slang, bet on it.
Going to the Redskins game.
Assistant, what's a redskin?
Redskin, the scalped head of a Native American, collected by government bounty hunters and sold for $50 cash.
It's time to change the name. Join us at the Not Your Mascot March and Rally on October 24th. The march leaves PV Plaza at 4 p.m., and the rally begins at the Commons, west of the U.S. Bank Stadium at 5 p.m. Listen for more on this and other Native news every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m.
Sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. We are awake.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
I am attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law in St. Paul, and I am passionate about providing legal services in the areas of estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve, with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit SchromanLaw.com. That's SchromanLaw.com.
You're back for the final segment of our 4 o'clock repartee with Brett and Eric, taking your phone calls till the end of the show. You can also watch on Facebook, go to AM 950 Radio, or email us, comment at AM 950 Radio, or call us 952-946-6205. I haven't highlighted this as much as Mike McEntee used to when he was on the 4 o'clock show, but you can always call us after hours and leave us a voicemail, and we'll go ahead and play that back. He often did that, which was a feature I liked back on his show. So if you're a little shy right now to call in, or maybe you're on the road and can't dial that phone, you can always leave us a voicemail, as that is open 24 hours a day. Oh, are you bummed, Eric? Tim Ryan has dropped out of the presidential race.
No!
I didn't even know he was actually running for president in the first place.
Yeah, some, I don't...
some of these guys who are still... Why are you running if you haven't qualified for, like, the last three debates? Yeah, I don't quite get why you're in the race, because, like I was talking, I don't even know who Tim Ryan... Well, I mean, I know who he is, but I didn't even know he was running for president.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Andrew Yang, who actually is polling not that poorly...
Yeah.
I kind of get, because it's like you're running on an issue, you want to promote this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're just promoting middle of the road, I'm a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, even John Delaney, again, I described myself kind of tongue-in-cheek as a former Delaniac. I can kind of get him being in the race, because he is an unabashed conservative Democrat, which I don't at all agree with his politics, but I can at least like the fact that he's being genuine about his beliefs. He's not trying to mask his actual political positions, unlike some of the other candidates we've had, not just in this election cycle, but previous election cycles. So I can at least kind of dig that. But yeah, Tim Ryan out of the race. And Amy Klobuchar, other presidential news, she has qualified for the November debate. Somehow we have eight other people that have qualified. How? I thought they were supposed to be tightening these rules at the November debates, but apparently we're still just going to be letting about everybody onto the stage. It'll be Klobuchar joined by Biden, Booker, Buttigieg, Harris, Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang, and Tom Steyer. We'll have to take bets on whether Tom Steyer wears the same tie again, because he definitely loves Christmas time, but I guess in November he'll sort of be having a tie that will actually be in season. By the way, thanks to Jennifer for pointing that out. I didn't believe her at all, salesperson here at AM 950, that he wears the same tie at every single media appearance, but it's actually true. You can go and Google just a picture of Tom Steyer, and you'll see him still always wearing that Christmas tie. Other news for today, this one I found kind of surprising. The number of strikes that have happened just in 2018 compared to prior years. So The number of striking workers in the United States was 485,000 people back in 2018, which dwarfs the number of people who were striking in 2017 or even before. 2017, we had roughly only 50,000 people who were on strike. It skyrocketed to 485,000 in 2018, and even if you look at the prior 10 years, we never had more than 150,000 people on strike at one point. So it's interesting to look at that number and why people are going on strike more. And coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Suzanne Gordon, because she's going to talk about why we've seen more strikes over the past few years and how people who and workers who have gone on strike have actually seen better benefits and better pay. So that'll be a conversation we'll have with Suzanne Gordon. She's a writer for In These Times and has also been very active in terms of the nursing industry at a national level and trying to get better rights for nurses. That'll be an interview we'll have coming up tomorrow on the program. Some other miscellaneous news and notes before we end the program for today. Matt briefly talked about this on his show, but that is Cleveland-Cliffs, which is a company and one of the largest players on the Iron Range, saw their profits plunge, get this, by 79% in the third quarter of this year as iron ore demand and prices fell sharply. At the same time, the company was adjusting to a smaller footprint that no longer includes coal plants. They've, of course, also been impacted by the trade war with China, being that, well, it's a simple case of supply and demand. They're certainly having the supply, but the demand isn't there from China with the retaliatory tariffs that they've put on the United States. So ultimately, in northern Minnesota, I always find the mining issue kind of fascinating up there, because obviously mining is a huge industry in northern Minnesota, but this often doesn't get talked about. So is hospitality. At some point, I think if you live in northern Minnesota, you have to realize, in terms of employment, you're going to have more of a future with hospitality than mining.
But, I mean, the issue is those quality of jobs do not compare. No one's making a full-time living, or I guess very few people are, on hospitality jobs.
Sure.
Those are viewed as, like, high school kid jobs.
Yeah, but even if you own, like, a resort or if you own a hotel, you're at least making some money. But I get what you're talking about.
How many hotel owners are there?
Yeah, well, that's certainly very true. But when you look at that issue as well, when you expand or make industry more favorable for hospitality, that doesn't negatively affect the mining industry, where if you recklessly are more friendly to the mining industry, well, then you potentially impact the hospitality industry and the fact that, well, people aren't going to want to visit polluted lakes
or
rivers.
The secret is, profitable mining is very destructive.
Yeah, well said, Eric. Good way to close the show. That's all the time we have for today on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Or is this the Matt McNeil show? I'm not sure which one. Well, we'll say it's a little bit of both as we're playing Matt's at the end. We'll talk to you tomorrow.